Hello, business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives. Welcome to today's Business Radio, a new hybrid radio show that airs both on air as well as online and on demand. We discuss all the topics relating to your business. Today's Business Radio interviews experienced business advisors to help you build enterprise value, improve profitability, and plan for your eventual exit. Whether you're an entrepreneur just starting out, a seasoned business owner, or a top-level executive, today's Business Radio will help you achieve your personal and professional goals. Today's Business Radio is available around the clock, around the world, online, and on demand at todaysbusinessradio.com. Now, the host of today's Business Radio, Tom Lyons.
Hello, this is Tom Lyons. I'm here with my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Jorgie Jorgensen. Today's guest is David Brower from the Lurie, Besikoff & Lapidusen Company, a local accounting and consulting firm in the Twin Cities. David, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
You've been on the podcast before and brought us some great information, and today we're going to talk about non-qualified deferred compensation.
Yes.
That's a mouthful, but I think it's a timely topic.
It is a timely topic. This is something that may be able to help the small business owners come up with some creative ways to keep key employees that they are afraid of losing in these economic times. You know, non-qualified deferred comp used to be much more prevalent. And then back in, I believe it was October of 2004, Congress passed some new laws that really kind of killed non-qualified deferred comp for quite a while.
Leave it to Congress. Do something to us again, eh, Sam?
I was just going to ask if you could give me an example of a non-qualified deferred comp plan. An old one.
An old one? Well, in the old days, and let's go
pre-2004.
and Enron was one of the poster children for the excesses and the problems with non-qualified deferred comp, where a lot of the key employees, the key executives, had million-dollar deferred comp plans, meaning that they were promised salaries that they deferred out past a few years so that they would not have to pay tax until later. But typically these plans you have some risk that you might not receive the money. But the old plans used to have these acceleration provisions where you could take a 10, 20% haircut and get your money at any time that you wanted. So Enron is the prime example where the company was going south quickly. The key executives knew it was going south, said, I'll take my money with a 10%, 20% less than what I actually promised, get my cash, pay my tax, and then that left nothing for the people who were in the qualified plans, the 401ks, the pension plans, those sorts of things. They no longer had the funds to ever receive their money. So, you know, and a lot of other groups were doing these offshore deferred comp where their money was protected offshore from creditors. And these were the things that there was no true risk and they were going to get their money no matter what. So Congress put a provision out there. It's 409A in the Internal Revenue Code. And it really puts some strict restrictions on what they can do with these plans.
Qualified versus non-qualified. It sounds like if it was non-qualified, it was safer than the qualified.
You know, back then, it was arguable that it was. You really only had that 10 to 20% risk because you could demand your money whenever you wanted. So it wasn't what the plans were supposed to be.
Okay.
So this was a reaction by Congress to the Enron case specifically to prevent executives from taking profits out of firms on the way down or in any circumstances, I would guess.
Well, it prevented people from having the ability to perfectly time when they wanted their compensation.
And who would know better than management of the company?
Exactly. Sure. So if you had $1 million salary and you wanted to potentially delay that until you were going to retire because you didn't need the money at this time and you knew it was pretty safe that you'd be able to get it, you defer your half your salary till a future date, typically when you plan to retire, and your tax rate may come down and start taking at that time. But knowing all the time that you could always get it if you needed it, by taking a small haircut on the value of what you're going to receive ultimately.
Take a discount and get the money. Sounds like the reason they thought up the term clawback. Let's go get that money back, huh? So fourth quarter of 08 and the first half of 09, business has been a little slow for a lot of businesses, and they're trying to keep their key employees and trying to keep things going. And how does a non-qualified deferred comp plan help businesses today?
Well, a lot of businesses that we're talking to these days really, I mean, they like the employees that they have. The employees do a very good job, but they want to make sure that they can keep these employees. And in these times, people aren't so sure that they're going to be giving raises this year, or if they are, they're not going to be very substantial. And this is a time when you worry that it might be easy for another firm that is doing well, because there are companies out there doing very well in these times. The vast majority of them are struggling, but you know, this would be when a company that's doing well would have an easy time to pick off some of your good employees.
Go on a little rating mission. We're going to go get some people, Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so what this could do is, you know, we can't give you a raise that we pay you currently, but what we're going to do is give you a promise to pay you money in 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, whatever the number might be. And there's lots of different ways that this can be structured.
Is this a result of the 2004? I mean, how did that change for this deferred comp?
Well, what 2004 did, and we should probably dive into just some of the technical requirements, because,
no!
Well, you know, 409, non-qualified deferred comp, really, people took a back seat. They really didn't want to deal with the requirements, but all it did was tighten up what you're doing and made it more of a concrete contract.
Okay.
Basically, you could no longer use those acceleration clauses. You had to come up with a concrete date of when you're going to pay it out. You could always pay it out if someone died. Always good tax planning. If they were separated from service, meaning they left the company. If the company's ownership changed the control. Disability, specific date that goes right into the contract. And we should talk about that a little bit, because that really had to be calculatable at the time of the deferral. You couldn't say, when I'm going to move to Florida, that's not a specific date.
So that sounds like the major change there.
Correct.
Yeah.
So this is a promise to pay future comp.
Yes.
And does it have to be in writing?
It does have to be in writing. That's one of the other main changes.
Part of that's to satisfy the employees that they will get paid, and the rest of it's for these terms that you're talking about?
Correct. Basically, everyone's agreeing to the contract. The contract's out there, and you can prove to the IRS that there was a specific date or event that would trigger how this is going to work.
Now, is this taxed as ordinary income usually, or what form does this take?
Well, what this is when you're going to receive it will be ordinary income when you receive it. The company typically will not get a deduction until it actually pays those amounts out. So this is a liability on the company's books, and they don't get a tax deduction until they actually pay it, just like the employee doesn't pick up pay tax until they actually receive the money.
So the employee may have earned it this year, but if he doesn't get paid it until next year, then it's a deduction to the company next year, and it's taxable to the employee the year he receives it.
Right, and that's one of the things. That's one of the reasons these non-qualified deferred comp plans disappeared, was that the statute was written so broadly that it captured a lot of plans that aren't what you would typically think of as non-qualified deferred comp. The statute actually says, if you earn money in 1 year and receive it more than 2.5 months after in a subsequent year, that is what non-qualified deferred comp is, and you must meet all these provisions to prevent some pretty nasty penalties. And those nasty penalties are that it becomes income back to the year that you deferred it. You pay interest.
Income to the employee?
Income to the employee.
Even though he didn't receive any money.
Even though he didn't receive it, that's
pretty harsh.
That's pretty harsh. But the even more harsh is, so you have your regular tax that you have to pay, plus a 20% excise tax on that gross amount that you were scheduled to receive.
Ouch.
So if you were a high-paid employee and paying the top federal tax, which was 35%, you're going to pay an extra 20 on top of that?
An extra 20 on top of that, plus late payment interest with an extra 1%. So,
well, Congress is trying to pay some bills, Sam.
Really? But it's a minimum of 2.5 months payout after.
Right. So, you know, that can accidentally capture some of these end of year bonus plans that people do. It can capture commission plans, meaning I earned a bonus in December of 2009 and the company doesn't pay it until June. Well, that's technically now spanned more than 2.5 months into the next year. And therefore, you've accidentally come up with a non-qualified deferred comp plan. And if it's not in writing with a set date of payment, all of a sudden you've failed 409A and you've just subjected your employee to an extra 20% tax.
So a business owner could be out there and be squeezed and just doesn't have the money to pay a commission. And things turn around in 6 months and he says, okay, now I can afford to pay it. And he goes and pays it. And if someone finds that, he's going to be subject to these penalties?
They would be
about?
Subject to the penalty. But there's a very easy way to get around that. You have these plans in writing. You say when you expect to pay that out. And if there's financial hardships, that is one way around it. You don't have the safe harbor to automatically do it, but you have facts and circumstances that show, and you should be able to avoid any of those penalties. But
go ahead.
I was going to say the trigger event, the same question I had. What if the company isn't doing well and knows that they're like a startup, mm-hmm. and they're deferring comp for a number of people that they want to have on staff? What would be a triggering event that you could put into this contract, or can you?
Well, what they can do is they need to get those contracts in writing because that's right. The first requirement. And they can say when they intend to pay those out.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's financial hardship, that is a way around that they pay it as soon as they can. So, but they don't meet any safe harbor. They're going under facts and circumstances. But those should be pretty good arguments.
David, okay. I've got to believe in these economic times, there's probably plenty of business people out there that owe some funds to employees and don't know anything about this the non-qualified deferred comp, and they pay it when they get around to paying it. I mean,
and that's why this is a good time to be bringing that up, because the first step I would tell anybody is get those plans in writing and make sure that you get that spelled out when it's supposed to be paid, so that you can make an argument about tough times and that you just didn't have the financial means to pay it at the time, so that you're not subjecting, because it's the employees that get subject to the harsh penalties, not the company. However, most likely if it's caused by the company, the employees probably have some recourse against the company at some point. So
somebody's going to scream if they pay that kind of taxes.
Yes.
Cool. So once again, just like we talked on the previous podcast, a business owner should have a quarterly checkup with his accountant and say,
it's a nice
here's
theme.
What I'm doing,
yes.
and here's what's going on, and keep me out of trouble.
Correct.
I mean, I don't know how, unless they listen to all our podcasts, I don't know how they'd have an opportunity to know about this law that was passed in 2004.
Especially even people who have been running businesses are different types of businesses and have not come across this wouldn't know.
Right.
So now that we've talked about deferred comp in form of a commission that's owed or a bonus is owed, can that take any other form?
It can take lots of forms. And a lot of people will know these non-qualified deferred comp plans as what a lot of people call golden handcuffs, meaning instead of kind of a bad connotation of handcuffs, this is nice, pretty handcuffs that are tying an employee to the company, meaning your normal salary is $100,000, $200,000, but if you stick around for 5 years, we promise to give you an additional $200,000 that
There's the gold part of the handcuff.
There's the gold part of the handcuff. Basically, we want you to stick around, and if you do, we have this nice, sweet prize that you're going to get. There's also a lot of other forms that this takes. One common form is what's known as a phantom stock or phantom unit plan. And this is if you are a small business owner and you own the whole business and you have a key employee that you really like and want to keep on, but you don't want to go to the extreme of giving them ownership, but you want them to kind of be aligned with your goals, meaning you're going to come up with a plan that values the company as of this date and say, you know what, I'm going to basically give you 10% of the stock, but not truly 10% of the stock, kind of this phantom stock, that we'll set how we're going to value the company. And in 5 years, we will recalculate the value of the company on the same formula, and I'll pay you what that your 10% phantom stock went up in value.
The increase in value.
The increase in value.
Just the difference.
Correct.
Okay.
So once again, it's golden handcuffs. She promised to give them, let them participate in the appreciated value of the business enterprise over some specified period of time.
Right. And, you know, this is one of those things, you know, where you're really trying to tie your key employees to thinking like a business owner to help you. If they're running the business and you're relying on them quite a bit, this is a way to make sure they run it the way you really want to run it. And
profitably.
Profitably.
Absolutely.
But you want to make sure, you know, you want to make sure it's a long-term profitable right. stance that they're taking. You don't want to do something that is easily manipulated by financial numbers, where you don't want to say, you know, if you can get the value of this company to increase X percent in 1 year, we're going to give you this huge bonus. Well, there's lots of things you can do in a short-term thing to manipulate the value of a company, to defer
expenses. So a lot of
expenses.
Those in the late 90s, yeah, where it
Correct.
Took two and a half years, maybe even three, and then the executive was gone. It's like,
right.
And then it started to
And
dip.
Then all of a sudden, they've recognized a lot of income up front. They get a lot of prepayments. Everything was looking great, but they had this promise to perform services or provide product later. And all of a sudden, they realize we just gave those huge bonuses for something that wasn't as good as we thought. So the design of these is incredibly important, and even more, you know, you have two things you have to make sure. You have to make sure you meet the tax requirements, but more importantly, you have to make sure you meet the non-business requirements of the company.
Such as?
Well, just making sure the goals that you...
Oh, okay.
I mean, to me, those are just as important. And you can be extremely creative with these non-qualified deferred comp plans. People thought the creativity went away with 409A, and the creativity went away on the payout or how the cash is going to go. But it does not limit the creativity that a business owner can do to compensate their employees.
So it kind of eliminated the discretion of the employee more than
Correct.
It did any okay.
than anything else. You can still come up with, you know, if you sell 100 widgets this year, you get this. If you sell 100 of a certain type of, I mean, you can have measurements that just blow your mind. They just
so this can look. You can just design
you can make this as complicated or as simple as you want.
Well, we better keep it simple as well, yeah. I think. So if a business owner wants to keep key employees around, in the short term, he deals with salaries and bonuses, and in the long term, it might take some form of non-qualified deferred comp, and if it's a phantom stock plan that we've been talking about mm-hmm. for a few minutes, then it has to meet these requirements of this 2004 law. It has to be in writing, and it has to have specific dates and so forth.
Right, and so it has to be in writing. It has to provide for how the payout's going, basically just how the payout's going to be. The written part of how you calculate it is also, I mean, that's how you determine what the payout is. You have to be able to say when the payout is and how much the payout's going to be. But if there's a calculation in there, that's still valid.
So if I'm a business owner, I want to sit down with my accountant and talk about this and figure out the dynamics of the deal, and you sit down with your attorney and draft up a document.
The attorney is also very key in this. It's, typically, your accountant's not going to draft the plan. They will help come up with suggestions and ideas, and will. It's always good to have them do a review of the final document, but this is also working pretty closely with your attorney to get the proper language, get the proper documentation, and get the contract written.
And then you'll do some calculations and say, what if, and
right.
play around with that so that everybody understands what it's going to cost.
Well, and there's lots of people that need to understand this. So you have to be able to sell this to the employee. You have to be able to sell it to the business owner. Everyone has to see why this is a good idea for all involved.
And good plans? What comes out of good plans like this in these type of issues for deferred comp plans?
Well, in a good plan, you know, you're going to have the employees' goals are aligned with the owners. You have retaining of these employees that you really want to keep. And it acts as kind of a quasi-equity structure, meaning you don't want them to be a true owner, but you want them to think and act like an owner. So
if what we're saying is the business owner keeps all of the real equity or the stock of the firm or membership of an LLC, so forth.
Right.
But if he's got some key employees that he wants to participate in the profitability and the growth of the company going forward, then you can go to a non-qualified deferred comp plan or a phantom stock plan, one of these things, and slap on those golden handcuffs so that everybody acts like owners.
Right. And you can do lots of, there's lots of other interesting things that we haven't talked about with kind of vesting and when they're going to get these benefits. You can tell them, that's part of the other creative part of designing the plan. You can have these schedules where, let's just do a real simple one. I'm going to pay you $100,000 in 5 years. Now, you can make it so that they have to stay 5 years, then they get the full $100,000. If they leave 4.5 years later, they get nothing. Or you can have what they call step vesting. That's what we would call cliff vesting. Step vesting would mean, let's just say they get 20% each year and still don't get paid until 5 years out. Mm. But then if they left after a year, they'd get $20,000. If they left after 2 years, $40,000, that sort of thing. So that they get a little bit as they go, or you don't get anything if you don't meet these general requirements, or you don't get anything if the profitability of the company doesn't hit certain dollar numbers. So those are some of the other items that you can do.
Now, can this take the form of participating in the after-tax profits of the company year by year, as well as the increase in value, or can you design it any way you want?
You can design it any way you want. It's just got to be a number that you can see how it's calculated and when it's going to be paid.
Occasionally, I've seen businesses where they've got a management team that's 5, 6, 7 people, and they want to take a percentage, say 10% of the increase in the equity or 10% of the after-tax profits, and distribute it among that management team. But quite often, we see the case, I think you called it cliff vesting.
Yes.
Where at the end of a period of time, if the bonus or the payout is there for whoever's still there.
Still there,
the
right.
People that left, their share goes to the people that stayed.
So in those cases, it's good to be the last one, right?
Well, sure. And then force the rest of them out the door. Why not?
Yes, but those are still valid, and that still can meet the requirements of 409A.
So there's a lot of different ways to do these things. It comes down to what the business owner is trying to accomplish and how many people he's trying to reward. And,
right.
it can take any form, really, can it?
Right, and that's kind of what I wanted to really stress with people, that these really dropped off after the passage of the law. But this is, people got scared, and the lawyers, the accountants were telling people what these large penalties were. But it really didn't take away from what they can do. It just limited the form and tightened up some of the requirements that you had to do. It just didn't have the free-flowing, willy-nilly stuff that too many people were doing in the old days.
So. Sure, a verbal promise to pay is going to be difficult to enforce. Now, the timeliness of this matter, I imagine there's a lot of business owners out there that have key employees that maybe they can't afford to pay them the bonuses this year. I mean, it's tough for a lot of businesses.
Yes.
If you've got some amount or some reward you want to give them and you don't know when you're going to pay it, one of the rules you said was a specific date to pay.
Mm-hmm.
How do you deal with that?
Well, how you deal with that is you'd set up something and come up with, it's if you're really struggling with when you think you're going to be able to pay, you're diving into some areas that aren't going to give you a whole lot of concrete comfort, but you can always set up that we're going to pay this in March of 2012. March of 2012 comes, it's difficult times for the company, but there's enough wiggle room in the law that allows you to pay it at any time during that year, and it gets deemed to have been paid at that time. Now, if you still are struggling, that's when you start falling under these facts and circumstances and have to be able to show that as soon as it became economically viable for the company, you paid it out. And that still is going to meet the definition. It's just not the safe harbor that a lot of people like to see.
So if we pick the date in the agreement and that date comes and you still can't do it, can you amend the agreement? Can you add some time to it and buy some more time to pay it without incurring these terrible penalties?
There's one thing that you can do is you can provide a provision to re-defer, but that then you have to re-defer for 5 years.
Oh.
Or there's some provisions for if you're going to cease the plan and all your other plans, you can amend when it's going to be paid out, but you still have to defer it out for a year at that point before you can. You can't kill a plan and pay it right away. There's still some risk and some deferral.
You need to be very careful with this and check with your accountant and your attorney and make sure that you're not accidentally causing those serious penalties for your employees.
One quick question on this one. Can you prepay the taxes for the employee taxes?
Well, the income tax.
Yeah.
Well, the income tax, they're not going to pay those until they actually get the cash. So there's no requirement to withhold at that point. But you do have the employment taxes. Once that vesting happens, once they've earned it and you know they're going to get this money, once it's earned and you know the amount, so if there's this formula and you don't really know the amount yet, you don't have the employment taxes. But if it was a straight $100,000 vested 20% each year, at the end of year one, they now have earned $20,000 and the payroll taxes are actually due at that vesting time.
Okay.
So that's that piece. And then there's no payroll taxes when they actually receive it because they've already been paid.
Gotcha.
So if 20% is vested the first year, they're going to pay tax on it that year?
They're going to pay payroll tax on that, the FICA and the Medicare, but not income.
Not income until they actually receive it. Okay.
So income taxes and payroll taxes have a little different scheduling, but most people are more concerned about the income tax piece, since that could be with these penalties all the way up to over 50%, which
tax and more tax.
We talked about the eyebrows raised.
Well, David, we're running short of time here. Any final thoughts on non-qualified deferred comp plans?
Well, I think it's for those companies that really have people that they want to keep and want to take care of the employees, this is the time and a structure to look at to keep people happy and keep people motivated. And it's something that most companies, if they have employees that they want to take care of, this is a way to do it without having the cost during these tough times, that hopefully the economy gets rolling well again and the companies are doing well and they can make sure that they'll have this money in the future. So this is a way to keep the people you need in a little more creative way than just hoping that they stay with no bonus or no increase in their pay.
And as we've learned on all these podcasts, the best thing to do for an employer is to sit down with his accountant and go over these rules, and if necessary, sit down with his attorney and draft up a good document so that everyone knows what's expected on both sides.
That's good advice, as always.
David, this has been very interesting. I'm Tom Lyons, and for my co-host, Sam Zordich, and our producer, Georgie Jorgensen, I'd like to thank David Brower from Lurie, Beskoff & Lapidus & Company for being with us today to discuss non-qualified deferred comp plans.
Well, thank you. Thanks. Thank you.
You've been listening to Today's Business Radio with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the owner of Phelan Partners Limited, an M&A advisory and consulting firm. Today's Business Radio is also available around the clock and around the world at todaysbusinessradio.com. That's todaysbusinessradio.com. All content provided by Today's Business Radio is provided for general information only and should not be treated as a substitute for professional advice from your legal, accounting, and business advisors. Today's Business Radio is not liable for the contents of this podcast, nor does it endorse any commercial product or service mentioned or advised in this podcast. All radio shows, podcasts, and other content provided by Today's Business Radio is copyrighted and may not be reproduced or downloaded for any reason without prior written consent by Today's Business Radio. If you have a topic you'd like covered at Today's Business Radio, log on to our website at todaysbusinessradio.com and submit your comments and questions. Thanks for listening to todaysbusinessradio.com.